Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. Book of Ezekiel in chapter 20. Ezekiel in chapter 20. And last week we began to look at verses 30 through, verse 32. We've been dealing with verses 30 through verse 32. It's all one. And that is the subject, the point, our point, Ezekiel's generation. Dealing with, in this chapter, in previous generations, dealing with going back to their time in Egypt when the Lord visited them and taught to bring them out, and he reminded them of how that he had put forth his word, telling them to cast off the idols of Egypt. And they disobeyed. They were disobedient. But he led them out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, took them to the foot of Mount Sinai, and there gave them his commandments. And they entered into a covenant relationship with them. And once again, those coming out of Egypt rebelled and were disobedient. And he cut them off. They died in the wilderness. And he said to their children, "Don't you walk in the ways of your fathers. Walk in my ways, walk in my statutes, walk according to my commandments." And they rebelled and were disobedient and became idolatrous. And he took them into the land. And when they settled in the land, they were again rebellious, disobedient, became idol worshipers. And now we jump to Ezekiel's generation. Let's begin reading with verse 30 again this evening. "Wherefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, are ye polluted after the manner of your fathers?" Those ancestors before that were rebellious and disobedient, are you like them? "And commit ye whoredom after their abominations." The same abominations which they did. Do you do? "For when ye offer your gifts, when ye make your sons to pass through the fire, ye pollute yourselves with all your idols, even unto this day. And shall I be inquired of by you, O house of Israel? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you." Then the verse that we took our thoughts from last week, and we, Lord willing, we'll finish up our thought from verse 32 this week. And that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all, that ye say, we will be as the heathen, as the families of the countries, to serve wood and stone. Our thought and our point last week was their desire. Ezekiel's generation was no different than the generations before them. And their desire was to be like the rest of the world. It was to be like the heathen, like the countries round about them. They wanted to do as their neighbors did. They wanted to do as they had done in Egypt. They wanted to be like those nations round about. They didn't want to be different. They didn't want to be peculiar. They rebelled against God, rebelled against His commandments, and they sought to be just like the world. We also discussed last week the fact that following after the world, following after the ways of the world, following in the path of the world is to arouse and to provoke the displeasure of God, to bring Him to anger, and to bring God's condemnation. We looked at, and drawing that to a close last week and making application to us, we looked at the commandments that we have in Scripture to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You see, the world loves not God, follows not in God's ways, and they are abiding under condemnation, the condemnation of their sin. We're to present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Don't be fashioned after this world. But be transformed. Be radically changed. There's a radical change is to taking place in our lives. We're not to be fashioned after the world. Our affections are to be set on things above, not on things of the world. We're the things of the world. We're to mortify the desires and passions of this flesh that we still live in. We're to mortify them. We're to put them to death. Continuing on tonight along these lines, their desire, the children of Israel, the children of Judah's desire for the things of the world, it goes unfulfilled. The things of the world don't bring satisfaction. They don't satisfy. Oh, we might think they will. They thought that they would. But they found out they didn't satisfy. They just craved more and more. Their desires never were satisfied. Their thirst for iniquity, their thirst for sin was never satisfied. Turn with me to the book of Job, and Job chapter 15. Job 15, and look with me at verse 16. How much more abominable and filthy is man? That's all men of the world. Men of the world. How much more abominable and filthy is man, which drinketh iniquity like water? You see, he's never satisfied. Your thirst is never satisfied, and you drink, and you drink, and you drink, and you drink. Oh, that we would find satisfaction in the water of life. The water that Jesus Christ gives, which he told the woman at the well, you would never thirst again. But the things of this world don't satisfy. And you continue to crave them, and you drink them up like water. Turn with me to chapter 20 of Job. Job chapter 20. And look with me at verse 12. Though wickedness be sweet in his mouth, in the mouth of the wicked. Though wickedness be sweet in his mouth, the world, they count wickedness as sweetness. They delight in it. Though he hide it under his tongue, he savors it. And you know, something you really savor, you get a piece of hard candy that's sweet and it's really good, and you just savor it, and you hide it under your tongue. Not to conceal the iniquity, but to delight in it, to savor it. That's the comparison here. There's something that is sweet to the palate and desirable. And so you keep it in your mouth for a long time, savoring it, enjoying it. You don't let go of it. You don't eat it down quickly. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. The book of the Psalms in chapter 52. And look with me here at verse 3. Thou lovest evil more than good. Well, that's the world. That's the world. It ought not to be God's people. It ought not to have been the house of Judah, God's special people, God's prized people, the one that he did so much for. Think about all that God did for the house of Israel, for the house of Judah, and bringing them out of bondage, bringing them through the Red Sea, bringing them through the wilderness, feeding them and providing them water. When they needed food, they had food. When they needed water, He gave them water. He went before them and fought their battles, and they were victorious. When they got ready to go into the promised land, God went before them. Dried up the waters of the River Jordan so that they go across on dry ground. Just as they crossed the Red Sea. And they get ready to go into the land, and God went before them and gave them the victory. The only defeat they suffered was when there was sin in the camp. God wouldn't bless. And He took them into a land, into houses that they did not build, houses that were filled with goods, which they did not fill with goods. He took them into vineyards that they did not plant. He took them into olive yards, which they did not plant. He gave them a land flowing with milk and honey. All the rich blessed, all that they needed. He supplied. While I was talking, did you compare the likeness to what He's done for you? To what He's done for me? Delivering me from bondage, bringing me through the trials, setting me free, and has blessed me richly and abundantly. Given me a home eternal in the heavens. God that cannot lie has promised it. Think about that. One day, it's mine. It's mine now. When He calls me home, that's where I'm going. Why? Why would I want to turn back to the things of the world, the things that don't last and don't satisfy and that are going to pass away? This world passeth away, 1 John chapter 2 tells us. But the things of God don't pass away. They are eternal. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Selah. Think about that. Oh, to God that that's not me, and that that's not you. Pray to God that we have a heart that desires to walk in upright ways, upright paths, in the paths of righteousness, in the paths of God's choosing, God's design, God's ordering, and that we'd have lips that speak truth and not lying. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 2. Look with me at verses 13 and 14. Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. How sad. How sad. How sad that some would leave the paths of uprightness, the paths of righteousness, walk in the way of darkness. Darkness being evil, being wicked ways, being the ways of the world. Who rejoice to do evil. They rejoice to do evil. And delight in the frowardness of the wicked. They rejoice. They think it's hilarious to do evil. They delight in the wickedness of the wicked. What a shame. How shameful. How shameful that the house of Israel would do such a thing. How shameful that the house of Judah would do such a thing. How shameful that God's people today would do such a thing. God's condemnation, God's judgment would rest upon them. And that wasn't new. God had told them. God had given these precepts to their fathers many years ago. And they were passed down over the generations. They knew what God had said. But did they believe God? You and I know what God has said. But do we believe Him? Do we believe God's Word? Turn with me to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus in chapter 23. In verse 2. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Don't you run after the world. Don't you follow after. Don't you look to the ways of the world. Don't you look to the heathen round about you. Neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. That word wrest there means to stretch it out long in an effort to turn judgment. Isn't that what we've got going on in this country today? In many cities across our land today, in some states across our land today, they're stretching judgment out long. They're turning away from judgment. Oh, the crimes they've committed. Oh, that's nothing. It's not so bad. We just won't prosecute them. We just will turn them loose. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Thou shalt not join in with a multitude to turn judgment away. Turn with me to the 34th chapter. The 34th chapter of Exodus. In verse 12. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. Take heed. Don't you make a covenant with the heathen, the land where you're going and the people that are there in that land. This is told to their fathers while they were still at the foot of the mount, at the foot of Mount Sinai. They hadn't yet left Mount Sinai. And they were told this. Turn with me to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus in chapter 18. Verse 2. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God. I am holy. I am righteous. And I am jealous of my worship. I'm jealous of my name. I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, wherein ye abode, you lived for 430 years, shall ye not do? Don't you do like you saw them do. Don't you do like you learned to do there in Egypt. Be different. And after the doing of the land of Canaan, whither bringing you, whither I bring you, shall ye not, neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Don't you do as Egypt? And don't you do as the inhabitants of the land of Canaan, where I'm taking you to now. You're to be different. And both of those speak of types of the world. Deuteronomy. Chapter 12. And now he's going to talk to the children. Deuteronomy 12, verse 30. Take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them, the people in the land where I'm taking you into now. Snared by following them. Don't follow after them. After that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve the gods, their gods? Even so will I do likewise. Look, these people served these gods in these high places. Well, that's what I'm going to do. God said, don't. Don't be like them. Be different. Turn with me to 2 Kings. Second Kings chapter 17. In verse 13. This is after all this. And God has brought Hoshea, the king of Assyria, up to Samaria. They're about ready to capture the Israelites, the 10 northern tribes, and take them away captive. He says in verse 13, he says, "Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah." So both of them, the Lord's testifying against. "By all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I..." excuse me, "commanded you, your fathers, and which I sent to you by my servants, the prophets." He says, I've sent to you messengers telling you not to do that. Keep my commandments. Keep my statutes. Notwithstanding, they would not hear. They would not hear. Israel and Judah would not hear. Will you hear? Will I hear? "But hardened their necks like to the neck of their fathers that did not believe in the Lord their God." They didn't trust the Lord their God, and they turned away from the Lord God and turned to idols. And they rejected His statutes and His commandment, His covenant that He made with their fathers, and His testimonies which He testified against them. And they followed vanity and became vain and went after the heathen that were round about them. You see, they ran to the nations round about them. Their desire was to be like the world. And they ran for them to do like them, to be like them. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God and made them molten images, even two calves, Samaria did, the Israelites did, and made a grove and worshipped all the host of heaven and served Baal. The host of heaven there is the stars and the moon and all the constellations. That became what they worshiped. They didn't worship the Creator God who created the heavens and the earth. But they worshiped His creation. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire and use divination and enchantments and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke Him to anger. They sold themselves. They desired it. They craved it. They devoured it. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. And now we're dealing in Ezekiel with the tribe of Judah and their fate. They followed after their sister, Samaria. Also, Judah kept not the commandment of the Lord, their God, but walked in the statutes of Israel, which they made. They followed after their sister, Samaria. You and I, we're not to do as they did. We're not to do as the house of Israel did, as the house of Judah did. You and I are not to do as the world does. You and I are to be different. You and I are to guard against doing what the house of Israel did, doing what the house of Judah did. You and I are to guard against the ways of the world. They're not to be part of our doings. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1. In verse 10, Proverbs 1:10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Don't consent to it. Don't give in. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Boy, isn't that what Satan does? Doesn't he paint a pretty picture? Look at all that you can have. Look at all the enjoyment you can have. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Keep your foot from their path. Withhold your foot. Withdraw your foot. Don't walk in their path. With them. Proverbs chapter 4. In verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. And pass away. You see, we're to guard against doing that. We're not to do it. Chapter 22 of Proverbs. In verse 24. Make not friendship with an angry man, Don't join in with it. Don't. That word there, it goes to pasturing. It goes to grazing. Don't pasture with him. Don't graze with him. And with a furious man, now shall not go. Don't walk with them. Don't walk in their path. Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. You get caught in the trap. You get baited. Isn't that what he told Israel? They weren't to give their sons to their daughters. They weren't to take their sons for their daughters. Why? Because they would learn the ways of the heathen. Isn't that what happened to Solomon? Had 999 too many wives to begin with. And then they weren't wives of the Lord's choosing and pleasing. They were wives of the countries that which God told them not to have anything to do with them. And they turned Solomon's heart away from God. We make friendships with them. We go along with them. And we'll learn their ways. Turn with me, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. How much plainer can you get? If you're a believer, if you're trusting God, you're trusting in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been delivered, you have salvation, you have eternal life. You're not to join yourself together with an unbeliever. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What agreement is there with unrighteousness and righteousness? There's none. And what communion, what agreement hath light with darkness? Darkness can't dwell with light. Darkness is displaced by the light. And darkness, listen to this, darkness is the absence of light. There's no agreement there. There's no communion. There's no concord. And what concord, what agreement hath Christ with Belial, with Satan? Belial is just another name for Satan. What concord, what agreement hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, with an unbeliever? You don't have any part with an unbeliever if you're a believer. You don't have anything in common. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Do we realize that He's indwelling us? I am the temple of God. His Holy Spirit is dwelling in me. I'm in Christ, and Christ is in me. Righteousness has no fellowship with unrighteousness. Christ has no fellowship with Satan. No fellowship with the things of the world. So we should not be joined to the things of the world. Turn with me, last of all, to this psalm. Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1. And the Word of God says, blessed, happy, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel, in the purpose of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. He doesn't stand up with sinners. He doesn't follow after their purposes and after their desires. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We just don't have anything in common. Why would we want to pasture with them, graze with them? Why would we want to befriend them? Our only desire should be to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tell them what Christ has done for me. And He's able to do the same for them if they will repent and believe in Him. All right. That's the